And good morning. Welcome to Newport Library's Book Talks. This is Rebecca Cohen coming to you this morning on KCOP AM 1230. Maybe you're listening online at kcop.net or at 100.7-2 FM. However you're listening, thanks for tuning in on this kind of wet, cold, and clammy morning. That was snow I saw coming over here, wasn't it, folks? I have a studio full of wonderful writers with me this morning, starting with my original guest, Matt Love. Morning, Matt.
Morning.
Matt is a teacher at Newport High School, a writer with a number of books to his credit, and a major force in the writing community here in Newport, making sure that there is a community for writers. And with him is one who, she's always getting praise, prizes, awards. Every time I have a writer on here, they say, oh, Carla Perry, we love Carla. Without Carla, none of this would be happening.
It's true.
Hi, Carla.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in this Monday morning. And look who you drug in with you. Across from me is Dennis Jones. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Rebecca.
Yeah, Dennis is a retired teacher in Newport and writer, and we're going to be hearing from all of these folks this morning. But the reason that I had Matt on this morning is because there's an incredibly special event happening on Saturday night.
That is correct.
Yeah, what's going to happen on Valentine's Day?
The Nye Beach Writer Series is going to host me and some of my friends who were contributors in the book, and we're going to roll out Citadel of the Spirit, Oregon's sesquicentennial anthology, in a wild, fun, interactive event at 7 o'clock at the Visual Arts Center.
Because it is Oregon's sesquicentennial birthday.
That's correct.
On
Valentine's Day.
That's right. And, you know, I'm really proud of the way you rolled sesquicentennial off your tongue.
It took a lot of practice.
Yeah, it did for me, too. It did for me, too. So, Matt, what's that book about, and why did you publish it?
The book is an anthology. It's about 500 pages of 63 original essays and 61 historical excerpts from Oregon's past, primarily since statehood, with an emphasis, I think, on the 20th century. And a couple years ago, I was just thinking about what Oregon meant to me. I knew the 150th birthday party was coming up. I figured that no one else was really going to do something like this. And I just started talking to some people I knew who were writers. I began collecting some of this material, and I just wanted to put it into a wild, sprawling book that commemorates Oregon, the yin and the yang, the good and the bad, what's unique. Just everything is in this book.
500 pages, I would say sprawling.
Yes, it is sprawling. I actually put the sink in there. The kitchen sink is in the book as well.
Oh, good. Well,
yeah.
I'll be sure and look for the kitchen sink. Well, now you have writers in there as diverse as Mary Goldad, who is a senior
at
your
Newport
class.
High School.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And Abigail Dunaway, who is one of my heroes.
Yes. I have the whole range of voices in there. And a lot of the excerpts are from blogs and documents and speeches, and so I really had this interesting, what I call, a merging of past and present voices to everybody speaking about Oregon in one way or another, from a natural resource standpoint to just a personal experience of coming to Oregon or some of the unique Oregon stories, such as, like, say, Steve Prefontaine or blackberries. You know, I mean, it just put it all in there.
I'm especially interested in the blackberry part. I have a long history with blackberries.
As
myself.
Do most of us.
Yes. but so that's why all of the diversity in your book is just to provide a picture of Oregon?
Yes. I mean, as we move to a new era, and I wasn't interested in putting out a coffee table book of the greatest hits. It just didn't interest me. And if somebody does that, that's great. But I just had this collection of stuff. I knew writers who had different takes on Oregon that traditionally wouldn't have found a publishing home. So I have a lot of stuff in there that I think a lot of people might deem controversial. But that's what Oregon is. We were a groundbreaker. And we were also the first state to exclude blacks in our Constitution. So, I mean, we've done this and that, good and bad. So I put that all in there and let the reader decide what they think about Oregon. But it's a love affair. You know?
Well, now, this isn't the first time that you've put something together about Oregon.
Oh, that's correct. I published some other books about Oregon, the Vortex, the Rock Festival from 1970, the Red Hot and Rollin' about the Blazers book, which Carla was a contributor, about Oregon's famous beach access legacy. So those kinds of things.
Excellent. Now, these two wonderful writers you brought with me today, Dennis. Yeah, this time you're on. Dennis, so you have an essay in this book. Why did you write it?
Well, actually, I was reading a letter from Vietnam that I'd written. I found all these letters in my parents' stuff that they had saved, which I didn't know. And I read it at open mic because it was relevant to the war now, 40 years later. And people were quite intrigued by the whole thing, you know, the language I use for politics, race, or whatever. Excuse me. And Matt heard me and wanted me to contribute to the book, so I did.
Well, would you read us a little bit?
Sure, I'd like to read a couple letters. I'll just start right in. Hi, family. This is Tuesday, December 12th. Time is flying. I have a lot of instruments to work on now. We're taking over support of a battalion of 175-millimeter self-propelled howitzers. They're supposed to get here on Christmas. That should keep us hopping. The weather's getting colder, high of 76, low of 63. It rains like Oregon, no worse, and there's always a northeast wind blowing. We're about 2,300 feet elevation, so it's a lot like Oregon, only not quite so cold. Certainly not what you read in the paper. Yesterday, they issued us a field jacket and a long-sleeve sweater worn under your shirt, so they must expect it to get colder. December 31st. I'll be glad to see the holidays over pretty soon. Mail has been messed up. Letters taking 2 weeks to get here. I don't get near as much as I used to, maybe because I don't write too much. But I don't need it as much as I am used to being here. I'm resigned to being here, and actually the first 6 months will go fast, they say, and then time will drag. Thanks for all the nice Christmas cards, cookies, and gifts, especially the rosary. That'll take place of church when I can't go, which is often. I'd like to write to you all individually, but I have a million cards and letters to answer, so later. Weather, it's still about 60 to 65 degrees. I had guard 3 nights ago. It was a breezy low of 58. Brr. Almost wish I had my long johns. Monsoon? What monsoon? I think we've had less rain than at home. It's like sleeping in the garage in May. I sleep with 2 blankets, 1 doubled, wrapped up like a mummy. Also a mosquito net. The bugs are no worse than some places at home, but can have malaria, which I don't need. So pretty much, you know, the same thing we all talk about, weather, wherever we are.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Yeah, we meet each other, and what's the first thing I said this morning? It's snowing!
Right.
Yeah, what year was that, Dennis?
That was 67.
So you were there from 67, 68?
Yeah. There was a lot that went on that year, too, you know, at home and around the world and Tet Offensive and all that. So it was an interesting year of my life.
Have you ever thought of writing for publication about that period in your life?
You know, I've read so many books that I feel like everything must have been written, but obviously it hasn't. And so this process has kind of gotten me interested again in certain aspects of it.
So we may hear more.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't a boots-on-the-ground kind of guy. You know, we're involved in stuff, but it's probably more average experience that most guys had.
Which, I want to interject here. That's what really intrigued me about the letters that I heard Dennis read at the open mic, that he was a normal guy. He's not a hero. He doesn't describe himself as a hero, and I was drawn to that story because, as Dennis said, we've read a lot of books about the war experience in Vietnam, and but this was something I hadn't heard before, and I really wanted it in the book. And it's become, a lot of people have told me since the book has come out, this is one of their favorite pieces because it's kind of flat. It doesn't have a lot of affect. It's just a guy that wants to come home to Oregon when he's away. And what's he going to do when he comes back? He's going to drive his car, his cool car that he missed so much.
Hunt and fish.
And
see,
I just
the
like,
girlfriend.
See the girlfriend. And there's an extraordinary photo that Dennis showed me of he's hoisting this huge Oregon State flag in front of his bunker. You know, it's like, yeah, it was great stuff. It's a great piece.
It sounds like it's very germane to what the entire collection, the anthology, is about.
Yes. An Oregon story, also speaking about a larger national issue as well. So what was going on? There's a couple pieces about growing up in the Depression, coming to Oregon. So the book also speaks a lot about American history during the 20th century as well.
Excellent, excellent. Now the book is it actually being released?
It's out.
It's out.
It's selling. It's moving.
It's moving.
And it's available here locally at the independent bookstores in Canyon Way and Nye Beach. And So the independent bookstore owners have been fabulous to me. That's the only way. That's where I sell my books, and they've been great.
Yeah, as they always are in town. They never turn me down when I go to them, always get me what I need.
That's correct.
So we're going to come back and talk some more and hear from Carla Perry in about 2 minutes. Hang with us, and we'll hear you back on the other side.